Throughout the ages, history has been altered by word of mouth and the misrepresentation of those who might not have been present when some of the world's most significant events took place. Channelers Barry and Connie Strom bring through the spirits of those who actually witnessed or took part in these historical events and lets them tell their stories in their own words. Welcome to Channeling History. And now, here are your hosts, Barry and Connie Strom.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to Channeling History. We're the only show where we speak to the souls that made things happen, and we're brought to you on the Parex Radio Network. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I will be doing the channeling tonight.
And I'm Connie Strom, your co-host, and I will be asking the questions of our spirit guests this evening. We will be investigating four mysterious deaths by channeling the spirits of Natalie Wood, Bruce Lee, Marilyn Monroe, and David Carradine. Last week, we interviewed three famous comedians, George Burns, Lucille Ball, and Charlie Chaplin. This was a very interesting show, especially when they discussed comedy today as practiced in our woke generation. All of our shows are available on our YouTube channel in Barry's name, or if you'd like to download them, just go to Podomatic.com and search Channeling History. We won't be taking a break tonight, so we can spend as much time as possible channeling our spirit guests. So please tell your friends about us so we can continue to grow our audience.
Okay, we always give a small disclaimer because we have no idea what our spirit guests are going to say, and it's especially important tonight. So the opinions or statements voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits, do not necessarily reflect our opinions of the Parex Network or of our sponsors. Now, before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. So Connie will say the prayer, and we will begin to channel with our spirit guests.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God. Amen.
Okay, Connie, it's going to be really interesting tonight. We're all going to learn something. So let's begin speaking to our spirit guests.
Okay, tonight we will begin by channeling with the famous actress Natalie Wood. In 1981, the Academy Award-winning actress, while on a yachting trip with her husband Robert Wagner, her co-star Christopher Walken, and the ship's captain Daniel Devern, her body was found floating off the coast of Santa Catalina Island in California. The captain of the ship testified that Wood and her husband were drunk and fighting on the night she died. In spite of the fact that she was afraid of the water at night, her death was ruled an accident. There were cuts and bruises on her body and scratches on the side of their dinghy as she had tried to climb into the boat. So, Natalie, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Why did you and your husband decide to go on a yacht cruise?
My husband and I always had a bit of a stormy relationship, and it was Thanksgiving weekend. We thought it would be a good time to get away onto the water and just simply to relax. I wanted to take Dennis along. He was co-starring in the movie that I was making at the time, and I simply enjoyed his company.
Okay, so that's why you asked him along. Were you having an affair with him?
No, I was not. Now, my husband was accusing me of it, but that's another thing. He didn't care for Dennis, but I thought the world of him. I thought he had a great future in movies. And to be honest with you, I wasn't sure that I wanted to be alone with my husband for the whole weekend. So anyway, we did have Dennis along.
So you and Robert weren't getting along at all at that time?
We always had a stormy relationship. Sometimes it would be wonderful. Sometimes we would fight. He was always jealous. He was afraid that I was going to bed with everyone, which I wasn't. I tried to remain true to him, and I did. But he also had a bit of a wandering eye. He was a good-looking man, a well-known movie star. And there were times that he would not exactly be true to me. So there were definitely times that we were on our outs, but I was trying to make sure that we would be able to make it this time in our marriage.
Yeah. Okay, you had been drinking on the island earlier that evening or that day, and the yacht was anchored offshore. You had to ride in a small dinghy to get to the shore. Had you ever operated a dinghy by yourself?
No, and it was small. The captain actually had to make, we let the captain obviously run the boat, the little dinghy, and he had to make two trips back and forth. It was a quite small little thing, and no, I had never operated it. It was my yacht, and the captain worked for me, so he was always available, but no, I never operated it by myself.
Were you and Robert fighting on the yacht on that night that you disappeared?
Yes. We had been on the island drinking, and both of us had quite a bit to drink. We went back to the yacht and continued to drink some wine. Robert accused me of having an affair with Dennis. I told him I wasn't. I told him I never did, and he was drunk and belligerent. He could get nasty when he had too much to drink. So the fight did turn nasty. It got noisy. I know that Dennis went to bed. He went down to his cabin to be away from it. He had heard his name being spoken of in vile terms, and I was glad that he did go down and go to bed.
Did the captain try to intervene in your argument?
He tried very carefully, but as I said, when my husband was really wound up, he could be quite nasty. The captain, he stuck with us. I know I think he thought that he might have to intervene. I finally got tired of it, and I went down into my room and intended to go to bed.
Did the captain play any role in your death?
No. He had nothing to do with it. My husband, he was very, very angry that night. And I know that the captain thought that he may have to get involved, but he never did. He waited. He knew that Robert had followed me to my cabin, and I know that he heard the argument at that point continue.
How did you get the cuts and bruises?
My husband was very belligerent on that night. He took a wine bottle and he actually broke it. And some of the glass caused some small cuts. I told him that I didn't want to be around, even to be around him. So I went up onto the rear of the boat. He came up and he followed me to the rear of the boat. He continued to be belligerent up there, and he continued to be nasty. I was standing on the edge of the boat, and he gave me a push, and I went overboard. The water was extremely cold, and I tried to get up into the dinghy. He pulled the rope. I think he was intending to try to get into it himself, but he actually pulled it away from me. I was not a very good swimmer. The water was cold. I tried my best to climb up into the little boat, but I just didn't simply have the strength. It was a terrible time. I wish that I had been stronger. I wish that I would have not have gone to the back of the boat, but I never, ever suspected that I would be pushed.
That is terrible. We have a question from our chat room. Say, you were terrified of water. Did you ever try to do something to overcome your fear of the water?
That was why I bought the yacht. I figured that if I would spend time on the water, that I'd grow more accustomed to it. I felt that there was just something that terrified me of the water, especially at night when it was dark. I just simply couldn't get over my fears. I guess if I would have stayed in my room that night, nothing would have happened.
That's very sad. So thank you so much for coming with us, Natalie, and letting people know what really happened to you. So I hope that you're much happier where you are. I'm sure that you are.
Yes, I just want you to know this. Robert claims that it was an accident, that he accidentally bumped into me because he was so drunk. I think that it wasn't an accident. I just think that he was that angry that he did something that he would have never done if he had not been drinking. So that is the truth of it. I'm sorry it happened. I know that it has bothered him through his life, but he was essentially the reason that I died. So thank you for having me. I truly appreciate the opportunity to have my words heard and for people to know the truth.
That's exactly what we were hoping for. Thank you so much, Natalie.
Okay, we're going to talk to Bruce Lee next. Now, Bruce Lee was a martial arts legend. He was in superb physical condition when he died at the age of 32 in 1973. He was found dead at the apartment of his mistress while in Hong Kong. His death was ruled an allergic reaction to a pill given to him for a headache by his mistress. The autopsy showed that his brain had swollen considerably, around 13%, and his death was ruled death by misadventure. That's a term for self-inflicted causes because the autopsy led to the belief that it was the painkiller that Bruce reacted to, and that's what caused his death. So, Bruce, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, Bruce, you had collapsed during an earlier filming session from what was diagnosed as a fluid buildup around the brain. Was this a condition that helped lead to your death?
It was a condition that I had, yes. It was very scary. I collapsed on a movie set. They took me to the hospital, and I was given medicine to avoid a fluid buildup. It is a condition that I had, but I thought that I was taking care of it with medication.
Okay. You were in the apartment of Betty Ting Pei, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, on the night that you died. Did you have a severe headache that evening?
Yes, I was in her apartment, I must admit. I started to have a headache. It was quite severe. I guess that I should have had her take me to the hospital. But I felt that if I went to the hospital again, it would be bad publicity. We were shooting a movie in Bangkok. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not true. I was in Hong Kong, and we were shooting a movie. The producers had assigned someone, but I was supposed to go to dinner with members of the cast that night, but I wanted to spend the evening with Betty. I did have a very, very severe headache. And I did ask her for something to help kill the pain.
So it was very similar to the time that you had the buildup and when it did go to the hospital, correct?
Yes. It was quite similar. I didn't realize that it was so dangerous. I didn't realize that I had any allergies to certain medications. I thought that it would be much better if I just simply stayed in her apartment and laid down to rest so that I could have the headache. The symptoms were very similar to a migraine, and I thought that I was just simply having a migraine at the time.
Did Betty give you a painkiller for that headache?
Yes. I asked her if she had anything that I could take for it, that it was possibly a migraine. She said that she did have aspirin with another ingredient in it, but she did not mention that. When I took the pill, I simply thought that I was taking an aspirin tablet. But there was another drug involved with it. I think it was for depression or whatever. But apparently, I reacted with that drug.
Was that painkiller responsible for your death?
I think, as I look back, that it was. I do not know of anyone at the time that would have wanted me dead. There were people that disliked what I was doing. I had been approached by members of the mob that I would have to pay them so that they would help protect me. But I essentially told them that when I was in their area, that I would allow them to protect me. I knew that the mob was extremely powerful, and I did not want to alienate them at all. To the best of my knowledge, it was the additive to the aspirin that created a reaction. I'd realized when I got back over that it was related to the condition the previous time that I had the fluid build up. I'm not sure just how much of a role that the painkiller had. What I was told when I returned over here was that I was having another severe fluid buildup. The pill probably helped, but I think that the reason that I died was simply that I did refuse to go to the hospital.
Is there any chance that Betty wanted you dead?
Betty had talked that she wanted me to leave my wife, but she realized that that was not going to happen because of the bad effect it would have on my career. I think that it was simply natural causes that forced me to pass. I think if I would have respected the fact that I had had similar conditions in the past, that none of it would have taken place.
Okay, we have some more questions from our listeners. Are you surprised to know that you're still so popular and considered one of the most proficient martial arts experts ever? This comes from the sister of a big-time Bruce Lee fan.
Yes, I am utterly shocked. Because at the time, I had not really gained such great reputation. I was known as a very proficient martial artist. I had done some movies in the past, but I had not really been that popular when my movies were shown in the United States. My movies were much more important, were much more popular in Asia. But as you know, Asia is basically where our forms of martial art began. I am truly shocked. But I am very pleased. I wish that some of this fame could have happened while I was alive.
Bruce, your son Brandon was killed while filming a movie where a bullet got stuck in the barrel of a gun, and when the blank round was fired, the bullet stuck in the barrel, struck and killed your son. Was this foul play?
There were people on the set that did not like my son, Brandon. It was very difficult. It would have been very difficult for such an accident to have taken place without having someone responsible for it. Movie sets are required to have firearms experts. These individuals are supposed to check the weapon, and these individuals are supposed to guarantee that the firearms are safe to use. After all, real weapons in my day were being pointed by people. Generally, they were using blank rounds, which means that there was powder and primer. The fact that a slug could get lodged in the barrel of a weapon is very hard to believe. the fact that they were using a fully charged blank round was very dangerous as well. Keep in mind that there is still a paper wad that comes out of the barrel when a blank is fired. And if it was a full round of powder, that paper could do damage as well. So, what took place in killing my son was the result of someone wanting him dead.
Okay, another question from our chat room. You and your son both died suddenly at the height of your careers. Was this both of your life plans?
Yes. I found out that it was part of our life plans. Okay. Generally, when people pass, it is because that they are living up to their life plan.
Are you and your son close on the other side? He was relatively little when you passed.
Yes. I had to watch him grow up from this side. But I knew that he had chosen a short life on his return. It turned out to be a little shorter than he had planned. But yes, we are very close on this side.
That's wonderful. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us and answering our questions.
Okay, Bruce, thank you so much. Connie, let's talk to Marilyn.
Okay. Marilyn Monroe, on the evening of August 4th, 1962, she died of a barbiturate overdose inside her home. The actress had been addicted to amphetamines, barbiturates, and alcohol. Her autopsy showed acute barbiturate poisoning, and empty bottles were found near her bed. She's believed to have had affairs with both President Kennedy and his brother Bobby. So, Marilyn, thank you for joining us again. What was your life like prior to the night that you died?
It was terrible. I was going through deep depression. I was relying on drugs. I could not sleep. I would take drugs to sleep. I would receive drugs to wake up. My professional life was floundering because of this. I had terrible times in my personal life. Joe had gotten a divorce. I was an utter mess. I was under continuous psychiatric care. And my friends tried to have people around me. I would have periods where I would be relatively normal. But when I was alone, the depression would sink in. I tried to keep my drug use from my friends as much as possible.
Did you have intimate relationships with Jack and Bobby Kennedy?
I must admit that I did. Looking back, it was a terrible decision on my part. I should have never done it, but they were both famous. They were powerful. And they were very convincing. So yes, I did have intimate relationships with both of them.
Were you ever threatened by the Kennedys or anyone else related to our government?
I was told pretty clearly that the relationships were to remain a secret. Both of them were active politically. Bobby was very ambitious. I actually grew closer to Bobby than I did with Jack. Jack was president. Bobby had much more of a freedom of movement. and we had been together multiple times. He had told me that the relationship had to end, that I needed to keep everything a secret. He told me that there were people that thought I was a communist, that I needed to fear the FBI and the CIA. He told me that I was in over my head and that I truly needed to keep my mouth shut.
Wasn't he a sweetheart? Bobby Kennedy was in Los Angeles area the night of your death. Did Bobby Kennedy meet with you on the day you died?
Bobby called me that day on the phone. He had said that he wanted to see me. He stopped by the house briefly and we had a short conversation. He told me that he was very worried that I was not going to be able to keep the relationship a secret. I had told Bobby foolishly that I had truly loved him. I thought that it would be possible that he would leave his wife for me. He told me that that was never going to happen. And he said that I absolutely had to not tell anyone about their relationship, that I could not tell anything about the relationship with his brother, and that I needed to be very careful.
Did you try to kill yourself as a result of that sweet meeting?
It threw me for a loop. I tried to get some sleep. I was very, very emotionally upset. I was worried. I took some sleeping pills. I passed out from those sleeping pills.
Did you consider yourself, that your life being in danger?
Yes. That was part of what I was worried about.
Okay. Were you addicted to drugs at that time?
Yes. I was addicted to barbiturates. I needed pills to sleep. I was very emotionally disturbed on that night.
Had you attempted to kill yourself prior to the night you passed?
Yes, I had tried several times, but each time I chickened out and called for help. I had tried in the past, yes.
So were you attempting to kill yourself on the night that you did die?
No. I took enough pills so that I could pass out from them, but I was not attempting to kill myself.
Why was there no water glass in the room or pill residue in your stomach at the time of the autopsy?
I had taken the pills in the kitchen, and the glass would have been where I took the pills. I had taken them earlier in the evening, so I would assume that the pills probably passed through my system.
Yeah. When your body was found, you had a phone in your hand. Were you attempting to get help when you passed out?
I had passed out and had obviously been unconscious for a while. I did not feel that I took enough of the drugs. I did not attempt to kill myself on that night. I believe that an individual entered the house and injected a lethal dose of the barbiturates into my system while I was sleeping and were passed out from what I did take orally. I did not attempt to kill myself. I know in the past I had taken full blame for what happened. But as I asked my guides what had taken place, they told me that it was not all of my own doing.
Do you feel like your doctor contributed to your death by allowing you to have all those drugs?
Absolutely. But I would also, since I was unconscious when that took place, the individual that administered the lethal dosage would have had to be someone that was close to me.
What would you tell any of our listeners about drug addiction?
Drug addiction is a terrible thing that will ruin your life. It's what got me into trouble. I blame myself for getting involved with the Kennedys, but I blame myself for getting involved with the Kennedys, but my drug addiction contributed to me making lousy decisions. Had I never become involved, I feel that I would not have died on that night.
Okay, we have one more question from one of our listeners. Why didn't your marriage with Joe DiMaggio work out? Because it seemed like he truly loved you.
Joe was the love of my life, but he was very possessive. It bothered him when I would perform in movies. He simply wanted me to be his wife, and I still wanted to have a career. Joe was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us again, Marilyn. I know it's not easy talking about those things, but God bless you. Thank you so much.
Okay, yes, Marilyn, thank you. I know that that story was a little different from the last time we talked, but I assume this is the right one. So thank you very much. Okay, now we're going to talk with David Carradine. David Carradine was famous for his roles in the television series Kung Fu, and he was in the movie Kill Bill. I was a big fan of his in his television show. I don't think I missed any of them at the time. Connie and I were actually experimenting with karate in those days, and it was an immense, wonderful show to watch. So I was one of his biggest fans in TV. Now, at the age of 72, he was found dead in his room while filming a movie in Bangkok, Thailand. And that was in 2009. He was found naked and had apparently hanged himself in a hotel room closet with a cord from the room curtain. The police suggested the death was due to suffocation due to autoerotic asphyxiation. A later autopsy stated that the actor died from asphyxiation, and that the way the Carradine's body was bound when found, allowed the coroner to rule out suicide. So it could have been an accident. It could have been premeditated. It could have been many things. But thank you, David, for coming through with us tonight. I know this is probably difficult for you, but I know that your fans would still like to have some answers.
Yes, welcome, David. How would you describe your mental state during the filming in Bangkok?
My mental state was very good. I had been having some problems getting roles in movies. I was trying to do some different acting. Bangkok was an amazing city to be filming in. I was in good physical condition. There was a time in my life that I had been using drugs. There was a time in my life that I had been abusing alcohol. But I had managed to overcome many of these problems. I was looking forward to the filming. I had some good friends on the set. We were anticipating enjoying many of the pleasures of Bangkok. It was a good time of my life.
Had you ever attempted suicide?
No. I had never wanted to kill myself. People may have thought that I did. Lord knows I'd had enough marriages that I probably should have killed myself. But at that time of my life, I was 72 years old, in good health, and suicide was very far from my thoughts.
Okay, so if you were in good health, I take it that at the time that you of your passing, you were not addicted to drugs?
No, I was clean at the time. As I said earlier, there was a period of my life where I was addicted. But this was not one of those times.
Did you have a history of deviant sexual behavior that was potentially deadly?
I must admit that I did have a history of sexual behavior that tested different fetishes, different methodologies. I found that autoerotic asphyxiation was a very exciting method of having sex. I knew that it was dangerous, but I had always had partners that were into the more kinky ways, and they were people that I could trust. You become very close to going unconscious. But it, for me, increased the pleasurable sensations.
Hey, was anyone with you at the time of your death?
Yes. Bangkok is famous for having different types of sexual experiences. The laws in Bangkok are very liberal. I had arranged to have an individual join me that was very well known among members of the acting profession to be able to arrange very unusual sexual situations for their partners. I had arranged to have this person join me. I kept it a secret. I did not want any of my friends or cast members to know what I was planning. I was actually supposed to have dinner with them that night, but I canceled and did not go with them. This woman came to my hotel room as it was arranged.
Did another person pick her to come and be with you? Or did you contact her yourself?
The individual that was assigned to show me around Bangkok and to keep me on schedule had arranged for this individual to come to my room on that night.
Why would you trust someone that you didn't really know to bring that person to you?
I had friends that had had relations with this individual. They spoke that she was trustworthy. They said that she was an expert in this particular type of sexual experience. No one had ever, to my understanding, had any problems with her.
Okay, so did you commit suicide, David?
Suicide was the furthest from my mind. The doctor that performed the autopsy was correct. There was no way that I could have personally committed suicide with the way that the woman had designed, the way that the ropes were around my body.
So that's what happened? The woman did it? What exactly did happen? How did it come to end?
I was This is very embarrassing for me, obviously. I was tied up by the woman. I was hung from the curtain rod in my closet. My hands were over my head. The woman was tightening the rope around my throat and was simultaneously performing a sexual act upon me. I think that She miscalculated. The rope wound up too tight around my neck. At the time that she was supposed to release the rope, she did not do it. I found that suddenly I was floating above my body and looking down. She had, I believe, accidentally choked me to death. Once she realized what had happened, she cleaned up the room. She went through my pockets and took most of my money. And she left. She was very effective in cleaning up the room. She left a red lingerie that she had been wearing. I think that the movie producers got to the police and did not want to have this be investigated as a murder. My family, I was very sorry, needless to say, as I watched my family learn of this. I wish that I had never done such practices, and I should have never trusted an individual that I had never met before. I guess you could call it murder. I don't believe she had any intent to kill me. I was going to pay her well for the evening. But when you are dealing with this type of a practice, something can go wrong. In my case, something went very wrong.
So, David, what would you tell anyone that practices autoerotic asphyxia?
I would tell them it's not worth it. You are taking a great chance for a moment's pleasure. If something goes wrong, it is very conceivable that you will pay for it with your life. I would advise that individuals that are into this type of thing would stop, that there is nothing to be gained. When you accidentally die from such an experience, it's too late. Use common sense. Do not do anything that can endanger your life. I had much more that I wanted to do. Sadly, my life was cut short by my own stupidity. I don't think the police ever tried to even find the woman. My guess is they suspected who had done it, but the police, I am sure, did not want to have to face an investigation. It was much easier for them to simply rule that I had accidentally committed suicide. So I hope by my telling this story tonight, I may save somebody's life. Thank you very, very much for allowing me to come through. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, David. I know it was not easy, but as you said, hopefully you can help some other people.
Okay. Thank you so much, David. As I said, I was one of your biggest fans. Next week, we're going to interview three famous news broadcasters, Walter Cronkite, Edward R. Murrow, and David Brinkley. It's going to be very interesting to hear what they think about how news is being covered today. I have to wonder myself how they would have reacted to the woke generation. These individuals told news as it happened. They told the truth. So I am looking forward to next week. You can submit questions and suggestions for future guests through our email, channelinghistoryonparax@gmail.com. My 8th book, Messages of God for a Modern World, and my 9th book, Messages of Muhammad for a Modern World, are now available on Amazon in soft color, in ebook, and in both English and Spanish versions. Messages of God consists of 60 channeled messages from our Wednesday podcast, A Weekly Message from Jesus. It's available on Kindle for immediate download. Signed copies are only available on my website, barrystrom.com.
We hope you enjoyed our channeling with these four incredible spirits this evening. Hopefully, some of our information will help bring closure for them that now that they know the truth. So please tell your friends about next week's show. It's going to be very interesting.
Yes, I thought tonight's show was incredibly interesting. Very hard for these spirits to talk about some of the how they died in these situations. I think that tonight we heard the truth for the first time about quite a bit of the information that was available. So anyway, thank you for listening. Please tell your friends about us. I'm sure that they would enjoy hearing some of the channelings. We've got over 440 of them on our YouTube channel. So anyway, please join us Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Pararex Radio Network.
Thank you all for joining us. Have a wonderful week ahead, and God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Channeling History. Tune in again next week for another electrifying episode, as we never know who will make an appearance or who will come through the portal. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2020. Our story begins by Kevin MacLeod. Licensed through Incompetech.com.